Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Wilson, who covers the Tennessee Vols for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I just wanted to establish earlier that I would franchise tag you guys to make sure you're not going anywhere.
We appreciate that. You know, that really means a lot, and probably a situation there, Mike, where we wouldn't be upset about a tag like so many players seem to be.
I want a long-term deal,
we'd work
man.
It out. It'd be good.
Just throw Cold Rex chase. Road some biscuits. He'll be fine. He'll take the franchise tag. That'll be good. So, Mike, obviously a huge game, a huge win, great environment for Tennessee on Saturday against Alabama. With the win, what does that do for their pursuit of a one seed in the NCAA tournament? How much work still left to accomplish for the Vols in the regular season and the SEC tournament in your mind?
Well, I think it's more of a don't blow it, which is kind of the same situation as last year, which they did do when they went to the SEC tournament and got absolutely shellacked by Mississippi State. You got Ole Miss on Wednesday. You got South Carolina, who's the worst team in the SEC, on Saturday to close. You probably afford to go 1-1 in those if you win a game in Nashville and still be potentially in line for that one seed, because Alabama and Florida are the primary competitors, and Alabama plays Florida, and Alabama closes at Auburn. So you're expecting them to take at least one loss. Florida also has Ole Miss. You can see them going 1-1 as well. So things are good, but Tennessee needs to keep winning if it wants to hold down that one seed spot.
Well, how surprised are you, Mike? I was with you guys in the Tennessee-Auburn game, and I did not detect a lot of expectation that the Vols would be pushing for a one seed at that point. I also didn't detect a lot of expectation of a close game going into it, and you know, obviously that they mucked that one up, and that was a game they probably should have won at Auburn, but obviously they've gotten, a lot better since then, right? Like, where have they surprised you in the last few weeks to get back to this point where they're pushing for a one?
Man, I think a lot of it, Felix Okpara is playing really well, really consistently, and that is something they didn't have last season. It's just you knew what you were going to get from a big man. You knew you could get good stuff from the big men last year, but you didn't know that you were going to get it. I think that's part of it. I also think Jordan Ganey has changed the outlook of this team by proving, and he started proving it probably in December, that he can play point guard at a good enough level for them to be okay with Zakai off ball or off court even for little stretches. His scoring is paramount to this team. He did it again against Alabama. I mean, you know this identity. The defense is going to keep Tennessee in games. They're always going to be able to win because of that. It's just always been a matter of, are they going to score enough to do it? They're showing right now they can. They're getting it from Chaz Lanier. They're getting, you know, basically 15 or plus every game from Zakai Ziegler. And it's a good recipe when you've got a bunch of senior guards scoring a lot of points like that.
Mike, you know, obviously a lot of conversation around Jemai Meshack lately. What about that moment for him on Saturday to hit that shot in the fashion that he did, and just what that means for him and kind of the symbol that he is for that program?
Yeah, the best way I can sum it up is, it's the guy who does all the things no one ever sees doing the thing you can't miss. And Jemai's been a little maligned. You know, the Tennessee fan base has wanted him to not start. A portion of the Tennessee fan base has wanted him to not start and put Jordan Ganey in instead for the offensive factor. And that's been a conversation for a lot of the season, to the point that people are discussing, is Tennessee better when Jemai Meshack's off the court? The answer's been no. The answer remains no. And I thought Saturday was a real big moment for a guy to rise up and people who've questioned him be able to be like, okay, yeah, like he's a pretty good basketball player. He wins games in a lot of ways, because forget the shot, he won the game in the final 10 minutes and certainly in the final 30 seconds with everything he did. From those, the hustle for the rebound and getting fouled, forcing the tie-up. He denied Mark Sears the ball in the corner on Alabama's inbound. I mean, he won the game in so many ways down the stretch. And I thought it was just really fitting, that, again, the guy who does things that you've never seen in the box score did so many things that fit to who he is and then also hit the shot to win the game.
Have you ever covered a better two things, glue guy slash on-ball defender than Mayshak?
No. Only player that came to mind at all was Dwayne Notice at South Carolina as a really good on-ball defender. He was a little bit smaller, more of a point defender and two defender than a guy who can guard anywhere. So no. And it's, you saw the love for the team, right? You saw the way the players responded to Jermai being the one to make that shot. And that's special. That's a really special thing. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you almost want to tell people, hey, watch him play defense for just like three straight possessions. Don't watch the ball. Don't watch anything else. Watch what Jermai Mayshak does, because he ruins people's lives defensively. It's really impressive to watch, and that's one of the reasons that Tennessee's been so good throughout his whole career.
Well, and another thing about him, Mike, and I actually tweeted this last year. I'm like, Mayshak next year will be like a 12-point-a-game scorer, because he's always had, like, his shot form is fine. It's wild to me that he's still so hesitant to shoot. I mean, he's, what, a 35% guy this year, but, you know, 15 makes. Why? I mean, I can't buy that Rick Barnes is down on him shooting. I mean, you want to space the floor. You want defenses to have to account for him. Is it just as simple as he just hasn't been able to find his confidence, or just have enough confidence to let it fly?
You know, that's a great question. And we do like a bold predictions type of story before every season. One of mine almost was exactly what you just said, of Jermai Mayshak's going to be a double-digit scorer. I didn't end up doing that, but it felt like an assumption that it was bold to an extent, but also achievable for Jermai to be that guy. He's especially good in that corner. I mean, you saw him hit that one against Vanderbilt. And he did that against Alabama last year as well. But you've also seen the way that teams just don't expect him to shoot. I mean, Illinois was the first this year you really saw it, where Brad Underwood basically was like, yeah, well, he can shoot all he wants. Like, that's what we want. And just sagged off him. And teams have kind of continued to do that. So I don't know the mental effect of that on a player. I don't know how that would change this, your readiness to shoot and your willingness to shoot. But he's shown he can score a little bit. But I think what's been good offensively is he's found those dribble drives, a little like turn hook. He's found little ways to score and affect the game. I mean, he had two of those in the second half against Alabama when Tennessee was teetering a little bit and having really bad offensive possessions. So he's found other ways to score, even if he's not going to shoot.
So, Mike, I think some Tennessee fans throughout the year, and I would probably include myself in this discussion, have been kind of waiting for, all right, they look really good. We know that they're good defensively. Like, is an offensive dud coming in the tournament that's just going to get up and bite them at some point? Do you feel like they've made enough strides offensively as the year has gone on where you're significantly less worried about that if you're a Tennessee fan heading into the tournament? Or is that still a fear that you have and you think Tennessee fans should have when the tournament comes around?
What is it, battered ball syndrome that lingers around out there? As of, and I haven't checked the numbers yet after this weekend, but as of this time last week, Tennessee was better offensively, analytically, than they were last year. And I think that probably blows people's minds to some extent, because you saw Dalton connect. So Tennessee's offense looked unfathomably good so often because of Dalton connect. But technically, this team has a better offense than what last year's had, and a better defense. So on paper, this team's actually better than last year's, and that team made the Elite Eight. So I get it. It doesn't look sexy all the time. So you do think maybe that dud is coming, because they've had a couple of them this year again. And they had that Kentucky shooting game. They had the Florida loss by 30. So you do kind of wonder. But I think this team's shown a lot more consistency probably in the last month now, that's not likely to happen. But I mean, wrong matchup, wrong time. That is March.
Well, I do feel like, I think it just seems to me, Mike, like that little injury for Zakai and quick break. One, all of a sudden he comes back and he's hitting shots again. So yeah. It's like, did he just need like a couple days to just lie in bed? You know, I don't know. But he's hitting shots. But also, I just feel like they were forced to, I think sometimes they get stagnant. But last year's team did too. Sometimes they would get stagnant. Let's stand around, give the ball to Dalton, get out of the way. Now it worked enough, right? Because he was so freaking good. But mm-hmm. I feel like this team stands around sometimes. The guy dribbles all over the place, and then when he was out and when he is out, if he's on the bench for a minute, you got to move the ball side to side. You got to move off the ball more. I feel like they look like a team that runs a more, lively offense sometimes when he's not on the floor. I mean, obviously the best combination of it is for him to be on the floor hitting shots and all of them to be playing that way. But do you feel like that stretch sort of helped them figure some things out on that side of the ball?
It probably didn't hurt. I think we all saw what you're talking about near the end of the Alabama game. They really had a lot of those possessions again where it was, all right, Zakai, save us. Do something for us. We don't know what to do right now. That can't be a thing. I think I tweeted it at some point late in that game. Chazanier, and he probably has already, but needs to do it more, be showing film of Santiago Vescovi moving without the ball. A guy who did everything he could to run until he got open. Because there were a couple possessions late in that game where Chaz was just kind of standing on the wing, and he's your best offensive player. Your best shooter. You can't have that. You can't have that in that moment where you need a bucket and he just becomes kind of a non-factor offensively. That's not an option. So yeah, I agree. I mean, Tennessee needs to avoid that lull where they fall into the save us Zakai mindset. He's not Dalton. He's not a 6'6 wing that can kind of do whatever he wants. So it's a little bit of an unrealistic expectation for him to match that, so I do think that that's out there. And I do think, as you're saying, Jordan Gainey showed a stress relief there when he did what he did against Florida when Zakai was out. So they figured some of that out. I think the question now moving forward is, does Igor Milicic get back to where he was? Because that's kind of that four-man missing piece of the offense right now. His splits in SEC play shooting-wise are great, but the production hasn't been as awesome from him the past couple games.
All right, Mike, last thing for you. When Tony Vitello's not offering his thoughts on what the tournament seeding should look like in the NCAA basketball tournament, is he right now on the path to rolling off a dynasty here and just winning national championships all the time?
Good golly. This team's off to a more impressive start than last year's team, just with the way it looks, the way things are going. Certainly still some things to figure out pitching staff-wise, I think. Can the starting rotation hold up as it is? But, man, it's impressive to watch. And I think when you look at how Texas A&M struggled to start this season, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, the way their seasons went after they won national championships, to keep it going, to open a new season the way Tony Vitello's done, that's pretty impressive to do.
No doubt about it. Great stuff, Mike, as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Yep, thanks for gladly accepting the franchise tag.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for offering it. We appreciate it. Mike Wilson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll react to what Mike had to say come next. A couple of your thoughts to get to on the Vols on the text line as well. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.